Good morning. This has been an incredible weekend for Newman. Yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, we were able to do some first communions for our little people who are getting ready for the sacraments, and they did first communion yesterday. And then in the afternoon, we were able to do a wedding for some of our students and post-grad students, and, you know, so we did a wedding in the afternoon, followed by the opportunity to baptize one of Lisa Rose's children, who in the RCIA program was accepted into the church, baptized, confirmed, and received his first communion. Then, of course, we did Mass last night. Well, the fun continues because after Mass today, I'm going to baptize an infant. And then after that, I am going to go and anoint one of our older people who are dying. Welcome to the Newman Center. That's the scope of the people and the families and the process that operates here all the time. That's what it's like. And that's the strength of the Newman Center. That's the strength of the community here. Baptism, first communions, weddings, confirmations, anointings. That's what happens here. Because the people of God are present in this community. One of the things I talked about at the wedding yesterday was that in the face of the chaos and the challenges and the hatred and the anger and the frustration, if you are in a position to say, I love this person and I want to publicly proclaim that and in a wedding, that's a powerful witness of faith. It's a powerful statement of hope. Because that kind of a lifetime commitment in the face of the chaos and the challenges that we are in front of today makes a statement to anybody who wants to listen. Welcome to the Newman Center. Welcome to the community that makes it up. So there you have it. And as I continued to think about the gospel and about taking up our cross, I was thinking about Jesus Christ. And from the moment that he was in the garden and acquiesced to his Father's will, the agony began and held him. It wasn't just the beatings that he took, it was the rejection of the disciples, the rejection of Peter. The rejection of everything that he cared for and loved, that must have been so painful for him. But the other part of it for me, as I continue to think about it, was that he also, in his divinity, was aware of the time that you and I are going to be in this space, worshiping him, praying to him, accepting his body into ours, in thanksgiving for the final gift he gave in the upper room. And I can't think but that sustained him in his agony, knowing that the love that he professed lived and survived and blossomed and came here into this time, into this place. Because in his divinity, he knew that. He didn't suffer any less in his humanity because of the agony and the pain and the beatings and the bleeding and the hopelessness. But the cross that he carried was lightened by the fact that he understood what was going to happen. The future for him was just as present as his present was. And so he understood in that moment the victory that was going to be his on the cross. Certainly our sins were forgiven in that moment, but certainly also was the statement of his love and the Father's love that followed in his resurrection. And the Spirit's love that came at Pentecost and continues to lift us up. We live in extraordinary times. The challenges continue, the hatred and the frustration and the uncertainty and the dying. People are still dying at a prodigious rate. So we too have a cross. We too have a cross to carry because we have to meet the challenge in our own individual lives and as a community. We have to stand up and say, Jesus Christ is alive in our hearts. The love that God gives us, I will share with those around me, in my prayer, in my ministry, in the way I live out my life. That's what happens at Newman. It continues to happen. I see it all the time. Not just in the love of the sacraments, but in the love of Scripture and study, prayer and ministry. Those things continue here, now, in this time, in this place, because we are sustained by the Eucharist. We are sustained by our faith. We are sustained by the hope that we have in the power of God's grace. You may have heard me say this because it's one of my favorite phrases. We are literally swimming in grace, but it doesn't help if we're just swimming. We have to gather it in. We have to embrace it, and we have to make it our own because that's what drives us, that grace. That's what lifts us up in the challenges that we face all the time. We never run out. There will never be a lack of grace to be had in our lives. But we have to do it. We have to embrace it. We have to say, yes, Lord, I too will take up a cross and follow you. And if we do that, if we say yes to the triune God, personified in Jesus Christ, personified in Jesus Christ, on the road, in the upper room, in the garden, on the cross, in the empty tomb. We are a powerful community if we do that, a very powerful community. So I invite you, as the days unfold, to embrace the grace that God has given each one of you. Make it your own. Meet the challenges that God is going to continue to give us day in and day out. Because God's grace, God's love will be victorious. God will win the day. First of all, because he's God, of course, but also because this community which believes in that God is working hard to bring it about every day.